To misconstrue this back-talking rhetorical movement is to misunderstand the sonnet. This is what happens, for example, when poets describe sonnets as elegant containers, like so many Louis Vuitton bags for toting around their personal items. I imagine these container sonnets being wheeled through the aisles of Poetry Mart as the poet grabs armloads of shelf-damaged tropes and hackneyed phrases and adds them to the cart. The notion of poetic forms as containers makes me twitch. I immediately think of an airless and inescapable cell. I hear the sound that Ugolino heard of the door bolting shut and of his starving children crying, "Eat us, Father." Sonnets must not be filled up or filled in or filled out. Better to think of them the way we think of jokes, as a performance, an action, as a cannily modulated flow of connotative and surprising language. The measure of success is not how well the poet fulfills the formal requirements, something easily managed with a little practice, but how well the poem modulates the flow of expressive language through rhythm, timing, originality, and surprise. Other fixed poetic forms echo joke structures as well. The refrains, for example, in forms such as the ballade, villanelle, and triolet, make use of what comedians think of as a callback, a joke or a tagline that refers back to a joke earlier in the performance. The joke, like a good refrain, is often presented in a different context the second time around. Callbacks come at the end of a set and aim to create an effect of familiarity and recognition. Most well-turned refrains function this way. Take, as an example, the nonce form refrain in Billy Collins' ruefully titled Hangover. If I were crowned emperor this morning, every child who is playing Marco Polo in the swimming pool of this motel, shouting the name Marco Polo back and forth, Marco Polo, Marco Polo, would be required to read a biography of Marco Polo, a long one with fine print, as well as a history of China and of Venice, the birthplace of the venerated explorer, Marco Polo, Marco Polo. After which each child would be quizzed by me, then executed by drowning, regardless how much they managed to retain about the glorious life and times of Marco Polo, Marco Polo. Now, I've reneged a bit on my promise to avoid comic verse, though not entirely. Collins is a funny poet, to be sure, but he's not a comedian per se. Much of the poignancy of his poems, not to mention his success with audiences, comes from his understanding of how poems and jokes work together to affect as well as tickle the listener. The relentlessness of his single-sentence poem as it escalates into something like menace makes us laugh, but also brings home the palpable discomfort of the poet's physical and mental state. The callback functions equally well in serious poems, such as Anthony Hecht's dramatic monologue Death the Whore from Flight Among the Tombs, which begins with an initial bleak image of smoke rising in a desolate landscape. Some thin gray smoke twists up against a sky of German silver in the sullen dusk, from a small chimney among leafless trees. The paths are empty, the weeds bent and dead. Winter has taken hold. And what, my dear, does this remind you of? Readers familiar with Hecht's harrowing poems of the Holocaust and the Second World War will find the image of smoke against a sky of, quote, German silver particularly haunting. The woman speaker who has come to a bad end after being cast off by the man she is addressing returns to this image at the close of the poem with eerie force. There was no funeral, no cemetery, nowhere for you to come in pilgrimage, although from time to time you thought of me. Oh yes, my dear, you thought of me, I know. But less and less, of course, as time went on. And then you learned, by a chance word of mouth, that I had been cremated, thereby finding more of oblivion than I'd ever hoped for. And now, when I occur to you, the voice you hear is not the voice of what I was, when young and sexy and perhaps in love. But the weary voice shaped in your later mind by a small sediment of fact and rumor. A faceless voice, a voice without a body. As for the winter scene of which I spoke, the smoke, my dear, the smoke. I am the smoke. The seed planted at the opening bears fruit pages later as the poem, like the stand-up's act, comes full circle with a rhymed couplet that is both a heightening and a return.